We had city council meeting last night, had a lot of different things happening. Before we get started, let's welcome our mayor to the program.
Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, a special recognition before we get started. I just had a couple of questions. You know, we had Connor Perryman on. He's the five-year-old kid that's got the sixth birthday coming up, and his party is going to be Sunday from 2 to 4 at the Texas Tech University Museum. This kid has type 1 diabetes. He's got two different types of colitis. He's on chemotherapy, and he says, I want you to come to my party and bring unwrapped toys and things for all the other kids at University Medical Center.
Right.
Which I thought was a very cool thing.
Oh, it is.
Now, there are some people that work at my shop that said, hey, are you going to this birthday party? And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to try and swing by. So then people start pulling out bags of toys that they bought. And they said, this kid touched my heart.
Aww.
So, now I have a duty. You know, I have to show up.
Sure.
So there it is.
Deliver the gifts.
Okay, now, one thing came up last night in a special recognition. Okay. Floyd Price sang happy birthday to Connor Perryman.
Yes, he did.
It's quite a performance.
Well, that was nice.
I just had a question for you. Does he do birthday parties?
I'll have to get you his phone number because I do not know.
Anyway, so salaries were one of the big issues on the program.
Correct.
We'll get to the biggie here in a little bit, really, which was power generation in the year 2019. But what were the bases of the salary increases for the people that received them? Now, the higher profile people that got them were going to be James Loomis, obviously city manager, and Satterwhite, who's the acting city attorney.
You know, there were only three because there's only three people that report to council. Mr. Satterwhite's, the basis for his is he has been promoted from an assistant city attorney to interim city attorney. So his responsibilities just tripled. He's over that whole office until we come to some sort of resolution with the Sam Medina issue. In the case of city manager James Loomis, his was more, and Ms. Garza's, who's the city secretary, theirs were a result of evaluations that we just finished with. And our process is quite lengthy, but once we go through the evaluation process, then it's time to look at compensation. Mr. Loomis was extremely undercompensated just for the job description. He did not get what he asked for. He had asked for $250,000, and council approved a $235,000 number for him last night. That's from 210 to 35, so about a 10% raise. Ms. Garza was given about a 34% raise, from a little over $100,000 to $135,000.
Wow, that's a pretty big jump. What's the basis? I mean, I understand that, but how do you justify an increase of, about 35%?
I don't know. I didn't vote for it.
Okay. How did the vote go?
Me and Mr. Klein were in opposition, and everybody else was in favor of it. I will say this. Ms. Garza had done a very good job of laying out why she felt like she deserved that much raise, and a lot of it was added responsibilities have been put on her over the last several years. There had not been any raises and compensations in those three positions for several years. So I think, and I hate speaking for other council members, but she did have a lot of strong selling points. And so, I just couldn't get there because of the high percentage, especially since I've been critical of LPNL doing that sort of thing with their attorney, two or three months ago. So, but I will say that she gave some compelling reasons, and I do understand why five of the council members could have got there.
Well, this is one thing that I just have to say relative that. Because everything happens the way that it has happened, especially over the past couple of years at City Hall, isn't the city secretary oftentimes the one that has to come with the pooper scooper and the mop?
I'll tell you, she's got a tough job. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing is the title of her job. Because when you say city secretary, we go back, I think, to the 70s description and thought process of what a secretary is. City secretary's job is extremely important.
Dot all the I's, cross all the T's.
Yes, handles all of our elections. She runs our vital records office downstairs. She's over council staff, which quite she didn't want, but they gave it to her anyhow. So, like I say, there were compelling reasons for the council to consider that raise. I did vote against it, but simply not because I don't think Ms. Garza deserved a raise. She deserved one. I would have preferred to seen a smaller chunk now and then another chunk later. But there again, once we vote, it's a council decision, and I'm gonna stand with the council.
All right, Mayor Glenn Robertson, Tom and Laura, good morning. We're talking with Mayor Glenn Robertson after the city council meeting last night, but got a little discombobulated. I am tardy to my own party. We're having this drawing at 7:10.
And now when we
forgot. For the cleaning house supplies.
We're talking about Connor Perryman and his birthday party, and we forgot all about it.
Yeah, I got so excited about Floyd Price singing Happy Birthday and trying to book him. I was going to try and book him for another birthday party. But anyway, we forgot. So Mayor Glenn Robertson's got the box. So go ahead, and if you would, draw the name for us, please.
And the winner is?
Diane Garcia. Diane Garcia, congrats. You got $100 worth of cleaning supplies. Yes, it does include the official toilet bowl cleaner of Collins & Mack as well. The Potty Lufana Stick LX model. It kind of has like this action. It's a ringer. Kind of has like a same action as a pump shotgun.
You got to love that.
Oh.
Yeah. Semi-auto.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's
laser sights.
Now you're talking.
Let me tell you something. If you've never, I know that you've got some big messes you have to deal with cleaning up. I am going to get you a bottle of OutClean and a potty loof on a stick.
Would that work on the dice?
It probably would. It's made specifically for vitreous china surfaces, but you know, hey, sometimes if stuff gets out of hand, maybe this will work for you.
I'm Googling vitreous as we speak.
All right. One of the other things that we had on the agenda this last night was, actually it was the Veterans Committee.
Correct.
That Mr. Klein had been working on, yes, and brought up. So what is that for? How did it come about and the purpose?
And I tell you, from listening to the stories last night, it came about probably a little over a year ago when one of the veterans approached Councilman Klein at a function and said, you know, we really need this in Lubbock. Other cities have it. You have citizens-based committees that get together, and they really work on how do we help integrate our returning veterans back into the workforce, back into our community. How do we do more other than maybe give them a parade and a little shiny medal and then forget them? So I want to publicly thank Councilman Klein. He's been working on this. He gathered support. He had numerous veterans and doctors that work with veterans at the meeting last night that spoke passionately to this issue about the need that we have in Lubbock. So, Todd did a great job. I mean, this is, something that I think we all realize we take for granted our veterans. Mm-hmm. And, I thought it was a great move. It's great for the city of Lubbock. It's going to be great for the veterans. And Todd just did a tremendous job with this.
Yeah, he did a good job of speaking on a couple of things. One thing that, Klein also spoke about last night was the awareness of macular degeneration.
Yes.
And there was special recognition awarded to a couple of people regarding that. But isn't this the first time that he has actually publicly spoke that I've seen in City Hall about his own macular degeneration?
Well, as far as my knowledge, because I was not aware until he said that at the podium last evening that he had macular degeneration. Him and Councilman Price read a special proclamation about macular degeneration. And like I said, it kind of caught me off guard, as I think it did a lot of folks. But it's when you have elected officials such as Mr. Klein willing to publicly, you know, talk about a disease that they're affected with, I think it really helps bring awareness. So, that was another issue last night that, like I say, my hat's off to Todd. I think he did a tremendous job last night.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things that, and of greatest importance with Laura and her cancer and BRCA1. Because she was totally out front with it on the air the whole time, from the time that she was diagnosed to, you know, I mean, today. I mean, you know, she just quit wearing her wigs, like, what, last week?
Like this week.
Or
this
week. I'm going to tell you, I like the new look.
I really do. I'm finally getting some hair.
You know, I will tell you, I think it is important. I think it's, you know, we live in a society where for a long time it just wasn't considered correct to talk about illnesses and these things. But if you're in the public view and you've got an issue or you've got an illness, and I think you have a duty to discuss it, especially if you can help bring awareness to it, help bring money to research to solve some of these issues. So, like I say, I really look up to the folks that are willing to do that, put themselves on the line and say, hey, I've been through this and we need to work on this problem.
You know, one thing that just surfaced recently, and I don't know if you've actually seen this, but Dr. Sam Ayers over at Estacado High School, he and his group over there had produced a video called, I think, Beneath the Surface or Under the Surface. It was a video about empathy. And it really kind of went viral, and it's a very, very, very good video.
It
a
is.
Lot of people don't understand, and they just expect this person does this, and so they take it for granted. And, you know, this is your role. This is what you do. Outside of that, you know, don't move out of your box because this is where I have you.
Right.
And I think the understanding for the greater good is probably something that is very, very important and something that everybody should kind of reconsider. Not necessarily, you know, creating a shift in a paradigm or the way people think about things, but just the consideration of all the factors that are involved. That's one of the problems that I have with people that are not in business, that are in governmental positions, because they're making decisions, business decisions, not based on business.
I understand.
Hello. 7:29, good morning. We'll be back in a few minutes. KFYO 7:39, how are you this morning? Hope you're having a great day. Hey, let me tell you something. I got to talk to you about the daily specials over at Catalina's Mexican Restaurant. It's authentic at 34th Street and Avenue P. Today we're going to veer off the Mexican food map, but we're going to stay at Catalina's because the daily special today is meatloaf, mashed taters, veggies, and salad. Also a soft drink and dessert. It's just for $8.50, 34th Street and Avenue P. Let me tell you something. Laura did a story during the ag segment about, you know, the dwindling cattle population. I'm telling you where the majority of these cows are ending up.
Where is that?
In a big slice of meatloaf on the plate at Catalina's.
Well, I think I might call General Abbott and see if he'd like to join me for lunch today.
Come on.
At Catalina's.
Let me tell you something. It's thick, juicy, and hot. And it's, man, it's thick, huge. I mean, it's just, you want to get your fill? They actually had to cut the portions down there because people weren't finishing their food, and they still aren't. They're still huge portions. Mm-hmm. Try this stuff. I had it last Friday, and I am going back today. I'm just telling you. If you would like to go to Catalina's today, I've got some Catalina cash for you. Ring us up right now, 770-5790, about caller number 3, 770-5790. You on your way. Catalina's authentic Mexican restaurant. All right, Glenn, let's go back to the city council meeting last night. The year 2019 is on the horizon, coming sooner than we think. And I think a lot of people just think that this is going to happen on its own. And from the discourse that I saw watching Channel 2 last night, I kind of get the impression that there are people that just have unrealistic expectations about how this is going to happen.
Well, you know, we just, the proposal or the resolution that I put forth last night was simply to try to bring people together. We've got an electric utility department that, because of administration right now, they think they're a complete separate entity from the city of Lubbock. And we've got to get everybody in the same room, and they have to understand, their CEO has to understand, that every decision they make affects the entire city of Lubbock. So this is an attempt to get them talking to the water department, talking to solid waste. I mean, if anything that they do, they've got to cooperate with the city. They're talking about building 530 megawatts of gas-fired generation. They're going to have water to cool these plants. been talking about this for years, and a week ago Monday is the first time the question came up, do we have the water available? So we've got to bring these people together. We cannot count on Dr. Zing, in my opinion. There's been two massive failed attempts by LPNL to solve this problem.
Epic.
Yes.
Fails.
One of them, we're in an $8 to $10 million lawsuit. And I think there's a giant potential for litigation concerning the current RFP, depending on the decision that we make on that. And I think the bottom line is that city council has to make this decision. We're going to be the ones that have to vote on it. So we need to be involved in the process.
All right. We're going to talk more about 2019. Good morning. Right now, 7:49 with Collins and Mack. Mayor Glenn Robertson here in the house, talking about the year 2019 and how we're going to generate our power. We're looking at the generation plant and talking about and discussing, in the event that we build something like this, it's going to take just a gazillion gallons of water and treated wastewater for, some of the cooling towers. Now, what the other option to water, and really we have to be looking at other options besides this.
We do. The other option to water on a cooling tower is they do have new technology, and they have air-cooled plants, generation. Now, it's much more expensive going in. But that's the reason that we needed to form this committee. We've got to have LPNL, our electric utility. Now, and I much rather refer, I like referring to them as our electric utilities. That's all they are. They're a department of the city. They need to work with other departments, and we may find out that, hey, it's cheaper, especially in West Texas where water is a precious commodity, to go ahead and spend the money up front. The other thing that concerns me, now I'll agree that we probably need to build 530 megawatts of gas-fired generation for 2019, but for energy, we got to supplement that with some renewables. I think we need to have a goal of 30 to 35% renewables by 2025. And the main reason is, and it's not because I'm real green and I'm not what you'd classify as a tree hugger, but I am smart enough to know that that energy gives us a hedge on natural gas prices, which is what put us in a bind 10 years ago. So we need to look at maybe building our own wind farm on property we already own out at the Gray Farm.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Yeah. The thing is I think so far some of the solutions that have been offered, which are kind of limited by Zing, they're very one-dimensional. But I think you're correct as far as that goes, because we need to do things longer term that are going to move us closer to self-sufficiency. We're going to talk about wind farm and biomass generation coming up next at 7:52 morning. Good morning. It's 7:55 with Collins and Mack, Lubbock's First News. Welcome to the weekend. Hope you're having a great one so far. After city council meeting last night, have Glenn Robertson, our mayor, in the house this morning. We're talking about the year 2019 and power generation. Let's go ahead and direct the conversation to supplemental energy generation. We were talking about wind energy. We need about,
530 megawatts by 2019.
Okay. 500 megawatts, and that's per year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're talking about wind energy. And we, the Gray Farm outside of town is 1,000 acres. So you get actually 10 megawatts per acre in a wind farm.
On average, yes.
Okay. So that would be 10,000 megawatts.
If you fill that entire farm up with wind, now, the engineers aren't going to do that. Number one, we don't need that much power. Couldn't use it. The point is we have to look at, and I think you use the key word, we've got to have some supplemental. We're going to have to rely on natural gas as our primary source of generation. There is no doubt, and I don't think anybody disagrees with that. My concerns right now is we have a CEO that wants one option with one vendor.
Just basically, what are the highlight details of that?
Well, I can't get into it because we're still into the middle of the blackout period of the RFP that's still ongoing, but There's a lot of behind the scenes, behind closed doors, politicking, wrangling, discussions. It's has not been healthy. It's not good for the city of Lubbock, and it's time for us to end that process, move forward, and come up with good solutions.
Yeah. All right. One of the other alternatives that you brought up off mic was biomass.
Correct.
Generation. Explain that real quick.
Biomass is just the decomposition of trash in your landfill, generating methane gas. You harvest the methane gas and use it for generation. By itself is not real cost efficient, but if you start factoring in the cost of opening a new landfill and the cost of closing landfills because of EPA regulations, this could extend the life of our landfill by over 100 years. So we can save tens of millions of dollars on that end of it. So it's just something that we need to at least research. We're probably 10 years away from having that kind of technology. But right now, there is technology in wind, and there's some technology in solar now that we ought to be considering out at the airport. So I just want to make sure that we've got all the departments talking and cooperating, and that we can put this bickering, interdepartment bickering behind us. And I'm hopeful this will help, but I still have grave concerns, strictly because the current management we have at LPNL.
I don't understand why we don't use more solar energy here.
Well, the technology has been very weak. It's more expensive right now than natural gas. But the good thing about solar that you have to understand, it's most effective at the time that our peak load is the highest, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of the hot summer day. So places like the airport where we've got all that space between runways, we should have solar arrays. Now, you know, you don't want to go nuts on solar, but technology's changed in the last year and will continue. And 10 years from now, it's going to be a tremendous option that we need to be looking at.
Yeah. Now, you know, don't underestimate the power of the methane gas and the biomass generation. Laura and I was talking about a story where there were some cows that were flatching in a barn on the other end of the country.
Speaking of methane gas.
Now, listen to this. I don't know if you heard about the story.
I apologize.
But there was a static electricity spark that ignited the methane. It actually blew.
It
blew the roof off the barn, killed some cattle, and severely burned others. You know? Now it was cooked.
Which is not funny.
It was on the rare side. But, you know, hey.
Ugh.
But, you know, it can work.
It can work.
Smeller's the feller. Glenn Robertson, mayor.
Oh, my
mayor
goodness.
Of Lubbock, Texas. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bye.